Hello, Paul. This is Tom Garcia in Tucson. Very happy to receive your letter the other day. I'm going to reply via tape here. And let me tell you, don't send any of the tapes back. Keep them and use them or throw them away or whatever. I get them at a very nominal cost over at the base exchange here at Davis-Monthan Air Force Base in Tucson. So I certainly don't need them back. In fact, they aren't all that great a tape, the quality-wise. They're probably shouldn't be used for anything serious after this one time that I send them to you. Well, I'd certainly like to hear about the novels that you've written and how long it took you to write them and what the subject was and anything you'd care to tell me about that. I haven't started on, nor do I contemplate anything of any great length, except one little thing I'm doing as a hobby, and I do a page every once in a while, but I don't think it's ever going to turn into anything. And your comments about obtaining an agent or a publisher. I don't know much about agents or publishers, although I've heard them mentioned a number of times. And here is how I've heard them mentioned. And I took notes, which I can't find now. I wish I could. There's some place out in California where you can write and get a list of agents, reputable ones. We have a conference here in Tucson once a year at the University of Arizona, a writers' conference, put on by the Southwest Writers Authors Association. Association of Southwestern Authors or something like that. And you can go around to different seminars during the course of a Saturday. It takes up a whole Saturday. There's a fellow named Ted Schwarz, who is a writer. He writes for Writer's Digest magazine. I understand he had an article in last October, although my subscription had expired and I missed that one. He also wrote The Hillside Strangler, a book. And he writes screenplays and pretty successful. Nobody ever heard of him, hardly, but he makes a good buck at it. I always attend his hour lecture, and he covers lots of different things, and one of the things he covered was about agents and how to get one and where to get the list and all. Well, if he's speaking at the next seminar, which is next month, January, and he comes up with some information along these lines, I'll be sure to take some notes and pass the information on to you. The only thing I remember him or somebody saying for sure was, don't ever pay any agent any money. No money up front, no reading fees, no anything like that. Writer's Digest, if you don't subscribe, you should, or pick it up on the newsstand, or whatever. I even go down to the used bookstore once in a while and pick up some back issues for 50 cents a piece or something like that. They don't hardly ever get out of date. I use it quite a bit for the markets update section, where I come across new magazines that are about to be published or have just started up. I find that new magazines are hard up for material and they are very likely to accept articles from you. Much easier to sell to a new magazine than to try to sell an article to Playboy or I just think Playboy comes to mind because I hear they pay lots of money. I've never tried to sell them anything. You mentioned newsletters here. For a little over 5 years, I edited and published and mostly did all the writing for a newsletter called 220 Notes West, patterned after 220 Notes out of Chicago, which started before me, went out of business during the time I was publishing, and has come back to life recently. Anyway, it was a ham radio newsletter aimed toward the users of the 220 megahertz band. Not too many of them out there, but enough to keep a newsletter going. I got tired of that and got a lot of valuable experience and stopped after a little more than 5 years. I was becoming more and more interested in computers and less interested in ham radio. I resumed my efforts on a much smaller scale in writing a monthly thing for our local computer users group here. There are lots of users groups in Tucson, all of them very valuable to the aficionados of whatever particular brand of computer they're interested in. My computer is the Color Computer, Radio Shack's Color Computer. I've got a couple of them. One of them with 64K of memory I use mainly for word processing, going to an Epson MX80FT printer, which I'm very satisfied with. Have a Gorilla Banana monitor, a couple of disk drives, a modem, of course, to get into CompuServe, and some things like that. I run hot and cold on CompuServe. I might not get on for 6 months. Then I get on every night for a month, and then I drop it again and go on to other things. There are lots of bulletin boards right here in Tucson, and I spent so much money on CompuServe last month, I think I'll use the local bulletin boards here in town this month. Except I am going to go online with the Encyclopedia tonight to do some research on a story. See how that works out. I'll run off a copy of that one of my newsletters, either this month or last month, the computer thing, and enclose it with this tape for your perusal. Well, I'm looking a little further down your letter here, and I see you mention long-range reconnaissance patrol in the Delta, 68. Boy, that ought to give you lots of background material and actual material for stories. Riverine Force? That sounds Navy-ish. I just finished working part-time, very part-time, as a volunteer for a guy named Jim Colby, who was running for Congress here in Southern Arizona's 5th Congressional District. And the reason I decided to volunteer to work for him was because I had read somewhere that he was one of three or four Vietnam veterans who were running for Congress this year. So I decided to go down and help him. He's a Republican. The incumbent that he was going up against was a good guy, a fella who had not made any enemies, who nobody disliked, who nothing wrong with him, but I thought I'd work for Colby. And last time, 2 years ago, Colby lost by 2,000 votes. And this time he won by 6,000 votes. So it was pretty close in either case. But anyway, I was working up to, he was in the Riverine stuff. He was a naval officer. I've often wanted to talk to him about that, but he's so busy, you really can't get in any lengthy conversations with him. He's running here and there and everything. So I never got around to talking to him about that. Had a party last Sunday, one of a number of parties, just little get-togethers for the volunteer workers, and I might could have talked to him somewhat about it then, but that happened to be the exact same time that the annual Arizona Memorial Service was taking place for the battleship Arizona that was sunk on December 7th, 1941, and I'm very, very interested in battleships and Pearl Harbor, and friends of mine involved, a very good friend of mine is the coordinator of that annual thing. This was the 31st annual memorial service, outdoor service. It's I made it sound like a church service. It's not that. It's a patriotic thing. So I didn't get to go up to Colby's party. Oh, you were with the Rocks and the Arvins, the Navy, the Ties. Wow. Those Rocks, they were really something. And I had good and bad experience with the Ties. Some of them were really sharp, and some of them were really not very good. In Thailand, I was with the Thais from time to time. I see you collect factual books from Vietnam, including tech manuals and studies. Well, my friend Irwin Bader in the Bronx also is big on factual books. Boy, does he hate fiction. And tech manuals. He was going by one of the armories there in New York one time and told me he looked in their dumpster and found all kinds of tech manuals they'd thrown away and scarfed them up. Yeah, he's a big collector, too. He just bought a flak vest, slightly used. He said it was almost like new, and he was so happy he got it for $55 somewhere. I don't know where. I told him to send me the address. I have another friend who is real big into collecting articles of clothing, helmets, oxygen masks, anything like that. I will take the liberty of sending a copy of your letter here to Irwin, and you and he have a lot in common. He may want to talk to you about, well, I think he'd probably like to give you a list that he's making up. Now, this is a rather impossible task, but he's working on it. A list of books about Vietnam that he's found over the years, only nonfiction. And he has gotten a big kick out of some things I've given him. I gave him a copy of a book called Prairie Fire. I was with Prairie Fire. And this is by a special forces guy, supposedly, named Kent White. Sounds like a fake name. And, golly, Irwin was up in Khantoum also, as I was. Irwin just picked out all kinds of errors in that book, a lot more than I found. It's hard to believe Kent White was ever in Khantoum, the way he described things, the way he described the Special Forces camp, the highway running, Highway 14 running east to west through the camp. Well, it was north to south. The camp being north of Khantoum City, it was south of Khantoum City. It was just awful hard to figure out how he was really there. Yeah, the photos, what a problem. I have an article that's been accepted by Gung Ho, and I thought the photos would be immediately forthcoming from the place in Washington where you buy official photos. But they seem to have lost my order. My check was never cashed, the photos never showed up, and it's been over 3 months now. I'm still corresponding with them, trying to get those photos. We got off to a good start with them. They sent me Xeroxes of the two photos I needed, and the numbers, and said, they do business in a funny way. They said, if you would like to buy these photos, write us and tell us, and we will quote a price. Why they couldn't quote the price in the first letter, I don't know. And the price is the same. It's a Xerox sheet that says 4x5 black and white is $6, and et cetera, et cetera. So I wrote them and said, yes, I want those two pictures, and they sent me the Xerox sheet. And I sent them $12 for the two pictures. A couple of weeks later, I get another letter saying, we understand you'd like to buy some pictures from us, describe them more fully, and we will tell you if we have them. Well, I ignored that letter because I'd already ordered them and sent the money, and nothing's ever developed since then. Gung Ho's probably mad at me. So we'll see whatever develops there. The pictures that I needed so desperately, and I hope I'll get someday, are of something called the E-63 Manpack Personnel Detector. We called it the urine sniffer. Maybe you've heard of it. I didn't keep any negatives. I have some pictures. I had one roll of real good color pictures, but I took them on a film called Kodacolor X, which isn't made anymore, which was one of the very first fast color films. I think it had an ASA rating of 64, which was fast in those days. Seems to me standard color was about maybe 32 ASA. Anyway, you can't it's very hard to get anybody to print Kodacolor X now because there's a different chemical system used, which isn't available anymore. So, I've been taking photographs of photographs. I use a single lens reflex camera, a copy stand, extension tubes, and I go out on my patio in the sunlight and make copies. And they come out very, very well. They are better than things the local photo labs do here. So I'm not having too much difficulty with photographs, what ones I took that I still have. I took a lot of black and white because it was easy to get them developed over there. And I made the mistake of sending some of my original negatives to Gung Ho Magazine, who lost them. So I don't have everything that I need. Boy, I wish I'd have taken a lot more pictures. Oh, thanks for the addresses. Thanks very much. I will get in contact with those people. That thing you told me about from Gung Ho Magazine, where they want to be between you and the publishers and retain 50%, doesn't sound so terrific unless you wanted to, maybe you had a medium-length article and you asked them to sell that for you. And once you get in with a publisher by getting something published, then you can go straight to the publisher from that point on. I don't really see anything unethical about that, although I haven't thought this thing out completely, but that just pops to the top of my mind here. The computer articles that I write for Computer Shopper, I don't think anybody else is turning in articles on the color computer for them. And I know the by talking to her on the phone, the editor there who I work with, and she knows me, and when I send her something, why, it's not over the transom so much. Well, it is, but at least it's from somebody she knows and has heard from, and she knows I know how to spell and things like that, punctuation, grammar. Well, these things you collect from Vietnam, Irwin is quite a collector of those things. He sent me something nice the other day. He made them and sold them to officers over there, sort of a kind of an officer's swagger stick. What he did was he took one of those posts that holds the mosquito net up above your bunk, and he cut off a length of that, I guess about 12, 13, 14 inches. And then he used a 50 caliber slug cut about in half with the primer end of it on one end of the piece of wood, which was painted a nice deep brown, and then the other half of the 50 caliber slug with warhead up at the other end, and it's pretty darn nice. I call it my Doberman tamer. I just bought a new Doberman dog, or got it for free. Somebody gave me an adult Doberman, and he was a little bit on the wild side when I first got him, and I'd carry that swagger stick. I never hit him with it, but he was intimidated by it, so I call it my Doberman tamer. I'm not going to go too much longer here. I don't want to take up too much of your time. Time is valuable, I know. I will mention about the combat tapes. There's no price that I will quote you because I'm going to make some for you for free. So you have that to look forward to. It will take a little bit of time, and I'll explain why in a moment. And the last couple of tidbits of information I can think to tell you is the computer magazines that I've written for. Color Computer Magazine, which is defunct now. Color Computer News, which is defunct now. Hot Cocoa, which I can't find the last couple of months on the newsstand, a Wayne Green publication. That, like another Wayne Green one, one of the first computer magazines, used to be called Kilobod. And then they changed their name to Microcomputing. That one went out of business a couple of months ago. Who else? A Computer Shopper, Anyhow, the pay isn't all that great. About $75 an article. One with photographs, maybe $125. They like photos. The only article I've had published in Gung Ho was a short one in, I think, the December issue, called Movies and the Montagnards. Took place up in Khantoum, a few pictures. That one was worth $350. Two other articles that they have, accepted. One is called With the Hill Tribes, Travels in the Golden Triangle. That's, they have accepted that, and they say they want to publish it, but I haven't seen any money yet. It's many times more lengthy than Movies and the Montagnards, so I expect the pay should be pretty good. And finally, the one about the personnel detector. A little bit longer than Movies and the Montagnards, just slightly. I imagine that's going to be about $350. So, if you can get in with Soldier of Fortune or Gung Ho, you'll certainly do better money-wise. I imagine Soldier of Fortune having a much wider distribution, selling many more copies per month, probably pays the best of all. I've only submitted to them once, and they didn't like the story, so I didn't try again once I got going with Gung Ho. In fact, I'd sort of hate to have Jim Schultz see a story of mine in Soldier of Fortune. He'd wonder why I didn't try him first. I don't know what the, courtesy or whatever of that, how that works. Okay, I'll finish the tape here of telling you some of my background, as you told me of yours. I'll start with the present and work backwards. I'm a student at the University of Arizona. I am finishing my last courses right now in the School of Education. I could do my final requirement of practice teaching next semester, but I don't think I will. I don't really want to teach, and I guess maybe I'll take a vacation for a semester, and then if I want to get my bachelor's degree, which I don't have a bachelor's degree, I'll have to go back and do a semester of practice teaching, unless my advisor can figure some way out of that for me. I don't know. I'll have to talk to him. My chemistry course right now, finishing my lab sciences requirement, is taking a lot of my time. When that's over in another 2 weeks or so, or less than that, I suppose, a week or so, then I'll get to work on making dubbing some tapes for you, combat tapes. I retired from the Air Force 10 years ago. Hard to believe, 11 years ago. 10 years ago, okay. Hard to believe that I've been out that long. I went in 1954 as an aviation cadet and completed 20 years worth. My career was always in operations, some kind of operations assignment, which combined flying with desk-type duties. I was usually a chief of standboard or a branch chief, which means that I was over all the other instructor pilots of wherever I happened to be stationed. My flying time was split about 50% between single-engine jet and helicopter, all different kinds of helicopters. My first tour in Southeast Asia was at Nakhon Phanom with the 606th Air Commando Squadron, where we were flying Huey helicopters. That was 6 months TDY. Went back home to Malmstrom Air Force Base, Montana, where I had orders awaiting me for Vietnam. Went and rejoined the same outfit, the 606th. Well, they then became part of the 20th Helicopter Squadron. It was the same people, different name, over at Nha Trang. And our main mission out of Nha Trang was working with the 5th Special Forces up at Khon Tum. I did 6 months of that, And because I had credit for 6 months TDY in Southeast Asia, we all got our tour curtailed at the end of 6 months in Vietnam. That's the way the Air Force worked at that time. After that, I went up to Alaska, did a couple of years up there, 2.5 years, flying first of all H-21s in the bush, and the last half of it flying the single-engine jets again back to the T-33, where I was a target, served as a target aircraft for the F-102s stationed up there, and then later the F-106s. After that, came back down here to Arizona to Davis-Monthan, where I started out as a Huey pilot, branch chief, and then on my last promotion, they had to get me out of flying. They put me up at the command post in the missile wing, where I got missile qualified, launch control qualified with the Titan missile, and finished my tour and retired as chief of the command post. After that, I went into the real estate business and did quite well for a few years, a number of years. Things have slowed down considerably in the last 3 years here in Tucson in real estate. When my broker, after losing money for 3 years in a row, closed his office 5 months ago, I decided not to do anything for a while, to just take it easy and, I don't know, maybe I'll never do anything again other than my hobby things, write and compute and stuff like that. Not a bad position to be in. I guess I was wise in saving my money over the years and being able to do this now at this point in my life, age 50. Okay, Paul, I'm going to finish it right here, and perhaps tomorrow get it off in the mail to you. And hope to hear from you sometime. I know you're probably pretty busy around this time of the year, as everybody is, with many things happening. So if I don't hear from you for a while, I'll understand. And if we can trade some information, hints and tips and what's going on in the wonderful world of trying to make a few dollars out of writing, whether it be mostly a hobby or just nice to get a check once in a while, I'll be happy to talk to you about it and receive a letter from you. As you say here, you don't like tape players. Okay, and don't forget, I don't want this tape back. Goodbye.